Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are looking at the last verse of the Tao Te Ching, and this is the final episode in my series on the Tao Te Ching for astrologers. So it has been a real joy to go through this sacred text together with all of you and reflect on it in light of our study and practice of astrology. I hope that you have enjoyed the series. If for some reason you're visiting the series for the very first time, enjoy it. You don't have to have seen any of the previous episodes. You can jump in anywhere, even today. So we have one final verse left. And as always, we're going to look through this verse twice. We're going to read through it once, read through it again. And on the second time through, we'll pause to reflect on it in light of our study of astrology. Now, I want to say a few things about this series and what I hope it has accomplished, but I will save that until the end, and we will get right into it. So before we do that, of course, don't forget to like and subscribe, share your comments and reflections. It really helps the channel to grow. You can find transcripts of any of my daily talks on my website, which is nightlightastrology.com. There is a new class coming up, the Masterclass series, that begins or just recently began. It's not too late to sign up for that. So check that out on the website in particular. There is need-based tuition available as well. If you have any questions, when you check that out under the courses tab at nightlightastrology.com, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. Okay, well, remember, we have been using the Tarcher Cornerstone Editions version of this, translated by Jonathan Starr. I love this version, and I hope that this series has honored Tarcher and Jonathan Starr, as well as obviously the Tao Te Ching. In reading from this, I just hope that people will pick up a copy and keep it by your desk so that you can always read this text and get something good out of it. This is a text that I have used daily by my side, along with things like the I Ching, for the sake of inspiration for the content on my channel. So anyway, this is the final verse. We're going to get right into it. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen so that you can see it. Here we go. And we're going to go full screen here. Oh, whoops. You know what? Let me just... I don't have it on the right slide, so let me get it there. All right. Here we go. All righty. So verse 81. Words born of the mind are not true. True words are not born of the mind. Those who have virtue do not look for faults. Those who look for faults have no virtue. Those who come to know it do not rely on learning. Those who rely on learning do not come to know it. The sage sees the world as an expansion of his own self. So what need has he to accumulate things? By giving to others, he gains more and more. By serving others, he receives everything. Heaven gives, and all things turn out for the best. The sage lives, and all things go as Tao goes. All things move as the wind blows. Beautiful final verse of the series. Let's read it through again, and then we'll pause and offer some final reflections. Words born of the mind are not true. True words are not born of the mind. This is an important piece of the verse. For ancient astrologers, the study of astrology was a way of entraining the mind to the logos. Remember, the logos being like a higher sense of truth. Remember that astrology is called astrologia, and the logia meaning the study of the logos of the stars. The stars are capable of speaking to ultimate eternal truths. And when we meditate on the stars as a way of life, their activities and movements and combinations, and then we see them in our lives and we are able to actively reflect upon them, we are in a sense training our mind to see the difference between all of the fleeting opinions, you know, which are part of life, but they come and go, the likes and dislikes, the daily things that get us riled up and then they fall away. Well, often for me, that's like, you know, something to do with the sports teams I follow, for example, which, you know, my opinions about these things really don't matter. But boy, do I like to think that looking at what people are saying about these things on Twitter makes a big difference. But anyway, words born of the mind are not true. True words are not born of the mind. The mind for the yogic philosophers is like a mirror. And if it's a clean mirror, then we can see reflected upon it something of a higher nature. And for ancient astrologers, the study of astrology was also a kind of entrainment to a higher truth that the mind could perceive. But ultimately, that truth is not something that's just being conjured up by our minds. Those who have virtue do not look for faults. Those who look for faults have no virtue. I think that what astrology does for us each and every day is it trains us to appreciate that all experience is flowing forth from higher dimensions of reality or consciousness. And when I say higher, I mean that they're here and there's nothing wrong or bad about this world. So I don't mean to imply that this world is lower. But insofar as we live in this world without any sense of the divine and eternal nature, then, you know, we easily get lost. And in this world, once you start to perceive things through something like the language of astrology, you stop, even though things, there are visible faults and flaws and there are things that we prefer and things that are painful, you stop perceiving things so simply. There's almost like a multidimensional way that you start to perceive experience itself. And that really is, it's very healing to cultivate that perception. Those who have virtue do not look for faults. Those who look for faults have no virtue. There's a sense that to remain in touch with our essence, with our true nature, that we have to have an appreciating capacity for experience, which doesn't deny the different kinds of experiences that exist in favor of some kind of, you know, feigned neutrality, but rather it doesn't judge things any longer, at least not superficially. Those who come to know it do not rely on learning. Those who rely on learning do not come to know it. Now, for me as an astrologer, I would say that this is one of the most important, like, for me, it's like axiomatic. It's like a starting point. In astrology, there's book learning, there's historical learning, there's techniques, and there's kind of like an academic level at which astrology can and, you know, on a certain level should be learned. But there's nothing that substitutes for reading birth charts, for example, to get to know the living spirit of astrology, to actually have astrological experiences and reflect on them, to actually read charts for people and see astrology at work, to actively reflect on the universe through a daily relationship with the stars. There's a kind of learning that's there, but you can't, it's a kind of learning that is, people who really get astrology, in other words, know that the ultimate teacher is the astrological experience itself. Reading charts, living a life where the symbols come alive. This is where we really learn astrology. And that's why we do our Grabbed series, where we share stories that you guys have from your daily lives. The sage sees the world as an expansion of his own self. So what need has he to accumulate things? By giving to others, he gains more and more. This is a kind of universal generosity that you find in many religious traditions and spiritual teachers and wise people of all walks of life have said something like this, which is that when you start to see the world as this perfectly orchestrated reflection of divinity, of this higher world of archetypal forms that the ancient astrologers said that it was, then there's a way in which you kind of let go of trying to it gradually loosens the hold of power and the desire to dominate or be special or important above others. And it can foster within us a greater sense of generosity and compassion. Not that I have any of those things realized myself, but I can say that astrology has helped me with those things. By serving others, he receives everything. Heaven gives, and all things turn out for the best. The sage lives, and all things go as Tao goes. All things move as the wind blows. When we have astrology in our lives, it is a form of trust that grows in the nature of life itself and in the nature of the way that things turn out. We are often caught up in the way that things turn out unconsciously, and in our own faults and flaws. And I think what astrology does for me, it gives me an awareness that that is okay. That's a part of how we live and learn and grow. And thank God we have astrology as a language to help us align ourselves with this unfolding of life and experience, the different seasons of life, the different kinds of experiences that come. Thank goodness we have these beautiful symbols that allow us to actively reflect upon and engage with the nature of experience itself. No judgment attached to whether it is good or bad, but a growing appreciation for its beauty and its intelligence, its mystery. Astrology as a day-to-day journey helps me to develop something like an intimacy with myself, with others, with the world, with the universe. And as it does so, there is a sense that I am following like a meandering, river with currents that are moving, and you can feel it, and that it comes and goes. I lose it and it comes back. It's a way that can't be named ultimately. And so I hope that in this series, those of you who have followed it from start to finish have gotten something out of this that deepens your life and has been healing and, useful. I hope that it's helped you appreciate astrology as a great wisdom tradition and not merely as a tool for prognosticating daily or weekly or monthly like events, because it is that. But why are we doing that? Why do we look at the weather and us? It's not for ancient astrologers quite as mundane as looking at physical weather, although it can be, and it, in a sense it should be. But there's also a spiritual and transformative reason behind the downloading and early transmission of this language. And so I think using the Tao Te Ching to open that up a little bit more has been the real purpose of this series. And it has been humbling and a great joy, really, to make this series. I've looked forward to it every week and have really appreciated hearing what you guys have had to say throughout the series. We'll always do more of these. Next series we're moving to will be going back to looking at planets in profile. We're going to take the moon through the zodiac slowly over some of the months to come. I hope that you'll also be able to, we're going to archive this series and you can go back and listen to it at any point in time for daily meditation. And we'll come to more sacred texts in the future, continue kind of the spirit of this series with other sacred texts. So that is what I have for today in this final episode. Again, a big thank you to everyone for making this series a success. I don't know how many episodes we ended up having. I think it was probably around 40. It was almost a year long too that we took with this. And I appreciated everyone for tuning in and giving such nice feedback and realizations along the way. All right, well, that's it for today. And that is it for our series on the Tao Te Ching for astrologers. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.